Chapter 43. Purity of the rushing water, and then he splashed his way up with a spurt, and stood on the bamboo platform before the open door under the shelter of the overhanging eaves under shelter at last. A low moan ending in a broken and plaintive mutter arrested Willems on the threshold. He peered round in the half-light under the roof, and saw the old woman crouching close to the wall in a shapeless heap, and while he looked he felt a touch of two arms on his shoulders. Asa! He had forgotten her. He turned, and she clasped him round the neck instantly, pressing close to him, as if afraid of violence or escape. He stiffened himself in repulsion, in horror, in the mysterious revolt of his heart, while she clung to him, as if he were a refuge from misery, from storm, from weariness, from fear, from despair, and it was on the part of that being an embrace terrible, enraged and mournful, in which all her strength went out to make him captive, to hold him forever. He said nothing. He looked into her eyes, while he struggled with her fingers about the nape of his neck, and suddenly he tore her hands apart, holding her arms up in a strong grip of her wrists, and bending his swollen face close over hers. He said, "It is all you're doing. You." Dot, she did not understand him, not a word. He spoke in the language of his people, that know no mercy and no shame. And he was angry. Alas! He was always angry now, and always speaking words that she could not understand. She stood in silence, looking at him through her patient eyes, while he shook her arms a little, and then flung them down. "Don't follow me," he shouted. "Want to be alone, I mean to be left alone." He went in, leaving the door open. She did not move. What need to understand the words, when they are spoken in such a voice? And that voice which did not seem to be his voice, when he spoke by the brook, when he was never angry and always smiling. Her eyes were fixed upon the dark doorway, but her hand strayed mechanically upwards. She took up all her hair, and, inclining her head slightly over her shoulder, wrung out the long black tresses, twisting them persistently, while she stood, sad and absorbed, like one listening to an inward voice, the voice of bitter, of unavailing regret. The thunder had ceased, the wind had died out, and the rain fell perpendicular and steady through a great pale clearness, the light of remote sun coming victorious from amongst the dissolving blackness of the clouds. She stood near the doorway. He was there alone in the gloom of the dwelling. He was there. He spoke not. What was in his mind now? What fear? What desire? Not the desire of her as in the days when he used to smile. How could she know? A sigh coming from the bottom of her heart flew out into the world through her parted lips. A sigh faint, profound, and broken. A sigh full of pain and fear, like the sigh of those who are about to face the unknown. To face it in loneliness, in doubt, and without hope. She let go her hair, that fell scattered over her shoulders like a funeral veil, and she sank down suddenly by the door. Her hands clasped her ankles. She rested her head on her drawn-up knees, and remained still, very still, under the streaming morning of her hair. She was thinking of him, of the days by the brook. She was thinking of all that had been their love, and she sat in the abandoned posture of those who sit weeping by the dead, of those who watch and mourn over a corpse. Part V. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.